So good afternoon, everybody. I want to talk about small area estimation and validation framework that we apply at the county level. And we're doing more and more now, splitting counties to at the zip code level as well, combination with NA County. Laura is sitting here, second person, second row here. She does all the magic and all these fancy models. Any hard questions, Laura? I will deliver the message. She's here. So we have nothing to disclose here. And so I want to talk to you about our framework, our data that we use, the small area models that we apply, how we validate them, and how we are correcting these models for and the findings. And I'm going to focus on obesity and hypertension for our correction, and then I want to talk a little bit about smoking and what we're trying to do with smoking, as you will see with the new wave of BRFSS in 2011 and 2012. We use data from large population survey, and we combine across multiple sources of data. We collect for self-reporting bias, which is very important from BRFSS, especially for something like obesity. We all lie about our weight and height, and then unless you do the self-correction, the correction for this self-reporting bias, you will not be able to get obesity at the county level correctly. And then our models borrow strengths across time, geographic, so space and time, and from other external information, from other data sources. And we validate our model to see how they perform, and then at what level, when we're doing a small area estimate, what's the minimum observation needed for our model to perform. Data set mainly BRFSS at the county level because it's a large surveillance system that you have the power at the county. But the gold standard for all of us is NHANES, of course, which is a measurement survey done by again by CDC, and they ask you and they also measure you as well. And National Vital Statistics for the mortality data, and we have a lot of other sources of data, ACS, National Health Interview Survey, and many of other sources that we bring in data for our models in order to provide an estimate. And then we have four models. I'm not going to discuss a lot about statistic. Good for me, I came at the end, so somebody else did most of this. But we have four models. The first one we call naive model, but it's not a naive model in reality, as I will show you. It has individual level covariates and allows a random effect at the county level. Then we have a geospatial model that borrows strands from neighboring counties for each county when needed. And we have a covariate model that we have county-level covariates that we bring from other sources and from BRFSS itself. Everywhere we have county random effect and the individual level covariates. And we have a full model where we throw everything in it and then perform the magic. Briefly, it's a fancy logistic regression for those of you, and sorry, binomial distribution, for those of you who cannot, you know, come to a presentation without some fancy statistical formula. The first model, the naive model, has all the intercept time effect, individual level characteristics. We come here to geospatial model where we borrow from this model, average for your county that you're around you, apply it in this model. This is our covariate model where we have county level covariates, and then the full model throws everything in it, and then to get you the estimate. How we validate our model. In BRFSS, we're so lucky that we have something called Smart BRFSS where the weights are provided for counties that have a large sample size. We do even a little bit more here where we take counties with 900 respondents over a certain period of time, say that's the gold standard from BRFSS, let's sample it down, see how our models perform, and compare it to the gold standard, which is the 900. And we could see where we lose precision and where we lose in our validation and what we should do. And that's, we use it for every, if we're predicting obesity, we use this for obesity, for smoking, for everything. So we do it one at a time and see how our models are performing, and we report that. Life expectancy, we have published this, PHM, male life expectancy 1985 to 2010, and you can see a variation here, increased life expectancy in the United States, but you could see a lot of pockets of disparities in the U.S. where life expectancy here which is mind-boggling in a country like ours, where you see a huge difference in life expectancy between the highest and the lowest. And that difference is widening from the past till now. It's increasing. And unfortunately, it's not, I'm showing the male life expectancy, but female life expectancy. We have counties here in the United States where life expectancy in 2010 for a woman, if she had a baby at age 20, that her daughter would have a lower life expectancy than she did. And you have counties in the United States where they perform better than any country in the world. I mean, very close to Japan when it comes to women life expectancy, but you have countries here that have performance like what we see in some African country. This is female life expectancy, and unfortunately, female are not doing as well as men, and I'll show you why. We're falling behind our competitors, our countries that are of similar wealth and similar health information system. Our competitors out there, we're falling behind. And here, this one is different. I'm sorry, warn you here, different level. Now I made them the same, so you could see female and males. Of course, females everywhere else in the world, they live more than men. But here, the again, comparison to other countries is not, we don't fare very well. Again, we're falling behind. But this is from our life expectancy. We could provide any indicators around this healthy life expectancy, whatever we want, and we could provide this for the project for the county ranking. So in BRFSS, BMI is self-reported, and we all lie about our weight and height. We know that. In NHANES, it's measured. The only difference between BRFS and NHANES, if you look at NHANES and you look at self-reported weight in NHANES and height, it's even higher than BRFSS. So people in NHANES, respect to NCHS, are not less likely to lie than people in BRFSS. We're all Americans, but they know they are being measured. So if you look at self-reported weight in NHANES and you try to adjust it applying what the self-reported weight in BRFSS would be, they're not comparable. Because you come to my house or you invite me to come for measurements, I know I'm going to be measured. So I may lie still about my weight and height, but not as much as if you call me over the phone and do it. So we have two different, we developed for this project, two different ways of adjusting for this self-reporting bias. First one for NHANES, and when you compare the, when you look at BMI and how people, the variation in self-reported and measured weight, there is similar across all patterns of BMI level. So made us confident about the correction that we are applying. So what we do in order to correct, this is self-corrected obesity level corrected for self-reporting bias. What we do is from NHANES, we take by different age sex group, we take the measures of levels of obesity. We do the same for BRFSS. We model those. We see what is the predictor of these changes between the two of them. Apply it to every individual in BRFSS to get the corrected weight and height. And here is correction. So if you look at what I used to produce in BRFSS, even at the county level for MSMART, self-reported obesity, this will be much higher because we adjusted for that bias. Still, huge variation, but is not as graphically as powerful as before. If you remember the obesity maps that we used to have, it's more in the southeast. You see more variation in the ranks of obesity across the United States. The correction adds more power to what we are doing. Change in obesity, everybody is gaining weight in the United States, and we publish that. All what I'm presenting here is available on our web. We have a booth here. You could go by your county, see the map, how it changes. So I'm not focusing a lot on this visualization, but please see us in 201, and you could play with this and see your county and how this moving target from 10 years or 20 years, depending what we are doing. So the way we do the correction from blood pressure for from NHANES is totally different than what we do for obesity. This is where we take the NHANES data itself and you self-report it and report it and model it and then apply that correction to BRFSS. The first one, we looked at specifically in NHANES what's happening. We modeled that difference to BRFSS when we applied it. So two different ways. One here because people from NHANES are less likely to lie as much on their weight and height. Sorry if I use the word lie a lot of time here, Roberta. But we have four different models for, and this is published in PLUS. Again, we have a great visualization down where we add the covariate age, race, BMI, health insurance, education, doctor visit in the last here and ever smoking, and then medication use, and then all the stuff, we plug it in a model. Self-reported hypertension, this would be BRFSS alone, and you could see here, again, southeast, where you see higher rate of self-reported hypertension. Total hypertension, when you adjust, again, same cut point here, see the color is changing. Much more hypertension in the United States, but the one that we should focus on here is uncontrolled high blood pressure in the United States. We're applying the correction from NHANES here. You see a huge percentage of our counties where somebody walked to a doctor, was diagnosed by hypertension, he or she is not controlled. And when you look at male and females, we're not doing as a good job in controlling hypertension among females than male, and that's why, no surprise, the life expectancy in female is not catching up with that of everybody else in the world and increasing as much as the life expectancy in males is increasing. So one of it is this, controlling the risk factors, and the second one is the epidemic of smoking. A woman picked smoking later after man, so now they're paying the price for it. So if you look at the lung cancer mortality in the U.S. and you map it across time, for men it's coming down, for women it started now to level because of the smoking epidemic. So this combination of not controlling the risk factors and the smoking, we see the poor performance for women when it comes to life expectancy in the United States. So let me talk about the challenge that we are working with lots of our colleagues at CDC, Pat and his group, in order to make the correction for 2011 and 2012 in BRFSS. So I should take the blame. I made these changes when I was the director of BRFSS, and at that time, we decided to make all these changes one time in 2011 because we felt between 2010 and 2011, in every survey, there is a bump because this is the census data that you use at the time rather than using projections throughout the time. And we felt there'll be a lot of changes. So if you plot BRFSS data 2000, 2001, there is a shift. And we felt best time to implement all of those will be 2011. 2008, 2009, and 2010, we should have reported, and we did have report both ways in order to account for the trend. But in 2011, BRFSS moved to new BRFSS right now, so there is a BRFSS 2.0 right now. It started in 2011. They added a cell phone sample because the cell phone was increasing, and his data, Stephen Bloomberg from NCHS, was showing a rapid increase in cell phone. And when I was at BRFSS, we didn't care if you have a cell phone as long as you're not dropping your landline. And his data showed that people are dropping their landline and moving to cell phone. So cell phone adjustment, and we changed our weights in 2011. We moved to raking weights, then post-stratification weight from BRFSS. That impact of these two done in 2011 made the trend, because if you change your methodology, you're going to change your ability to do the trend. So two main changes happened in 2011 compared to 2010. And if you look in BRFSS, when we implemented those raking controlling for age, gender, race, education, marital status, tenure, and phone usage, and you look at smoking, I'm showing you smoking here, how we're trying to solve this issue for smoking. And you could see from the slide, Native African American tend to smoke much more than everybody else, and when you're doing this post this raking weights, well, you could adjust for that. But look at the other variable as well here. Look at education, for example. Powerful. When you include education in your weighting, now raking, which we didn't do that in BRFSS until 2010, a huge difference for in BRFSS. The people who are more educated are less likely to smoke. People who are not educated are more likely to smoke. And then you, BRFSS being a telephone survey, you're capturing more likely to capture people who are more educated and so on. When you apply this correction, a big bump in your data. So how do we want to lose it? Because this U.S. county ranking has to move to the new version of 2011-2012 without missing the ability to go back and say this is the change. We have to work with the University of Wisconsin to show this is the change, unrelated to the change of our methodology. So, marital status, we included that in the ranking, big difference in terms of smoking. People who are married are less likely to smoke. So, what BRFSS added in this ranking, you could do this for every variable in BRFSS, and these are significant and they should have been included. So, if you have smoking right now, what we have in BRFSS, big jump 2011, then 2012 still going down. It was coming down. The old weights 2010, You add all your changes. Now it goes up. Then it goes down in 2012. So trend is still going down from 11 to 12, but from 10 to 11, a big jump here. And 2012, BRFSS made another change in its cell phone. So cell phone was into 11, if you have a cell phone and cell phone only. So if I reach you through the sample of cell phone and you had only a cell phone, I talk to you. If you had a landline, I felt I'm getting you from the landline. So we didn't do that in 2011. BRFSS didn't do that in 2011. Well, in 2012, they said, oh, I got this guy over the phone. Let me ask them the question, which makes sense. So another change happened in 2012 as well, where they included the sample of cell phone right now is cell phone and landline as well, if you have a landline. So if I'm moving to the change from 2005 to 2010 to make you a clear one, if you add the changes that you do the landline alone, you see a big jump here. You add the effect of post-stratification and post-stratification. If you do it the old one, methodology, if you take out the cell phone and we do our own weighting at IHME, trend is still going down. If we apply the weight that BRFSS, two of them independently, take out the impact of the raking, take out of the cell phone, not big difference. Okay? It's the big difference in the total package of changing the weight and the raking that BRFSS has applied. Big problem for everybody who's doing trend in BRFSS, and then how could we deal with it? And the way we have done it here, we said some assumptions that are very valid looking at NHIS data when it comes to cell phone. So we fit the landline model on the data from 1995 to 2012. So only the landline, which I showed you here, the one that shows a decline keep going down, the shaded green line. Fit the model on the combined sample 2011 and 2012. Calculate the difference in the and those variants. Say this is the this is the bias of the new methodology that has been included. Then assume that has been a linear since 2000. If you are in our business of doing surveys, 2000 telephone, if you look at Steve Bloomberg, cell phone picked at 2003, started going skyrocketing. So linear trend. So that assumption has some merit in the community, a poor community, American Association for Public Opinion Research, people that we in survey business use them to guide what we do, has merits, and apply that correction, say that's the same correction, is linear trend, go back in the past and apply it. And that's what we're trying to do. Still have some work here to do with BRFSS weight and the way they do the weighting and the raking and post-stratification. We have to do a little bit more work with BRFSS to find out, and when they adjust for cell phone, do they do a post-stratification for cell phone? So percentage of people who have cell phone only, cell phone and landline. And that we need to do some more work in it. But we think we have a great way to deal with it. We will be able to provide the University of Wisconsin a correction for it. And then we're talking to Pat to do three versions of the ranking. One is the old-fashioned way that was applied, introduced our innovation way of doing this stuff, and the new correction that we have from 2011 to 12. So basically everybody who's using this at the county level will see what happened and how we dealt with it. Correction works extremely very well, and then some people it brings it up, some people it bring it down, so it's not making the same correction across. It's a kind of reassuring us that what we're doing is really valid. And we have a gold standard we could compare to in BRFSS as well. And here you have the current smoking in BRFSS in 2012. So we have 11 and 12. We have a manuscript under about to be submitted and hopefully will be published soon to coincide with the 50th anniversary. And we have a big manuscript that global tobacco smoking coming in JAMA, and we have the county one hopefully will come out in PHM by January 11. And you could see the smoking here at the county level for 2012 for male and female. And here you could, for smoking, which is very intriguing for this crowd here. If you look at smoking for, in general in the United States, you could write here tons of paper on this two slides. Smoking came to the U.S., came to the big cities, and it was hip, you know, your metropolitan area. They wised up and said, this is killing us. It moved out, unfortunately, picked up by the suburbs and the rural areas, hasn't left. You could see that. And you have some rural areas here, some counties, where smoking are as high as what you see in some of the European countries. So I mean, and if you look for females, for example, here, and you see at the border with Canada, anybody would know why you will have counties at the border with Canada that have high level compared to the state where they belong in smoking. Any idea here? Take a guess.
Smuggling.
What?
Smuggling, I said.
Outlet of tobacco around the border. Smoking is cheaper here than in Canada. And you have these ladies that work in this outlet and then sell tobacco. For more information, Laura's email is here. My email is here. This is a promising for us and for this project, and we are so happy to be part of it and then contributing to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to all four speakers. We have a few minutes for questions. Ali, this is an unfair question. Is, since you're not in charge anymore, but is BRFSS going to go back and redo estimates back to 1995 or whatever, which applies this correction?
I hope not.
He hopes not. Well, you have to be sure people understand what happened in 2011, okay? But that subsequent analysis in which you do look back and you look at the trend, given new information on on sampling and the population you're sampling, I think could be very helpful to researchers. Okay. Okay, any other questions? I have a few. Pat, I have a question. You know, one of the really beautiful things about the county health rankings is that they're very transparent in methodology compared to many, many other approaches in which a lot of assumptions are made. And of course, there are assumptions that are made here, but it's actually the measures are straightforward measures. Okay, but has there been any criticism of the summary measure, this very simple summary measure of combining these measures together, or have people, particularly at the decision-making level, really accepted that?
Well, I think we made a decision early on to not only have sort of open methods. One of the reasons is that we got the data from existing sources. So we were reliant on other sources for providing the data. The second thing is we said that when we put the data up there, we're going to actually make it available and make it available easily. Bridget comments that people are often surprised when we get a call from an academic and they say, you mean really I can download the actual data? It's on spreadsheets. It's ready to go. We thought the best source of population health data, I mean, we do the ranking to make people attention, but the underlying data should be available to everybody. So I think those two things were relying on others. We weren't doing primary data collection, and we really feel that the data should be available. I think the final thing is in conversations with local health officers and colleagues in Wisconsin for the 6 years when we were doing it, is they really preferred to see data that they were used to seeing in other settings. And it's a question for us whether the modeling is going to make us sort of less relevant to local communities that have the original data themselves. So if we model an estimate and it comes up to be different than what they're used to seeing when they use their own data systems, will that be a problem? And I think that's a question for others as we move forward. I mean, it's one thing to compare the estimates and say they're different. One may be better or worse, but how do the communities react to actually seeing the estimates they got from the BRFS versus modeling to take out some of the random variations?
You know, I think there's a distinction between getting better estimates of the factors that go into this versus which to me seems important to do and to improve it over time versus a summary measure that is difficult to explain and has a great deal of subjectivity in it. This has a lot of subjectivity in it, but it's very clear what it is. Subjectivity in terms of, well, we'll weight this 50%, we'll weight this 50%. I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean, you know, it's absolutely clear what's being done.
Because we also provide the individual data. So we provide the individual measures as well as the summary measures. So you can either take the summary measure or look at the individual contributors.
Any other questions? I have more. Dr. Athens, why wouldn't you always want to use time series longitudinal approaches in this?
Yeah, actually.
Why don't you stand up so they can hear you? So, Dr. Park, what do you conclude from that? I think it was the social and economic factors, and looking at the two approaches under the OLSS, you had 64% and 36% for the LG. So, why would one do LG?
So to estimate the potential and possible range of bias, then we are more able to get a better sense of what exact the impact of each social determinant factor to that outcome and other determinant factors on that outcome. So latent growth curve modeling itself was not so core of this issue, but we know there are some potential issues maybe on the measurement error and level or county level unobserved characteristic may influence those kinds of estimates. So that understanding about applying these approaches, we have some sort of baseline value when we try to estimate with the consideration of four of these factors. So the values shown in the table could be provide some range of the potential value instead of the pinpointing specific value should be used as specific relative contribution to its outcome.
As a moderator, let me make one comment. What I would love to see in future sessions on this is I'd like to hear from the decision makers, the people to whom this is presented, how they interpret this and how this has been used as a call to action, solid, you know, impactful action. Because I think this has made a tremendous contribution toward public health, looking at these measures. And I go back to the second or third slide you showed, in which you kind of showed a set of boxes going down this way toward impact or toward application or change in public health. And it would be great to focus in on that box and understand the impact that this quantitative approach to assessing population health does have on populations and the people who influence those populations. So maybe that's a thought for next year.
Well, there may be other sessions here at APHA. Bridget, are there any forthcoming yesterday or tomorrow? And the other thing is, if you go to the roadmap side of the website, we have the rankings and the roadmap, which is more focused on the action. But good idea to combine the two to think about the data actually talking to action.
Thank you again to our speakers. 2 o'clock.